The scripture for today's message is Luke chapter 23, verse 46. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, let me start by asking you a question today. This always exists around us, but is vital and essential for us to sustain life. Do you know what this is? Yes, it is air. The dictionary defines air as a colorless, odorless, tasteless, gaseous mixture that surrounds the earth and forms its atmosphere. Air is mainly composed of nitrogen and oxygen, and it contains lesser amounts of gases such as argon, helium, and carbon dioxide. The air plays an essential role for animals breathing, humans breathing, and conveying or carrying of sound. Air is essential for the survival of animals and plants, including human beings. But we have something as essential as air spiritually. It is the words of life. Just as man cannot survive without air, we wouldn't be able to lead a true Christian life without the words of life. We have learned in detail about heaven and hell and realized the true meaning of human cultivation and the deep love of Father God and the Lord through the words of life. Moreover, the words of life has guided us onto blessed Christian lives, instructing us on how to circumcise our hearts, planning firm hope in heaven, and presenting precise ways to reach there. How much do you realize the value of the words of life? It was not given to us automatically. Mrs. Peng Yun Lee explained how senior pastor brought down the words of life, how he sacrificed, what kind of sacrifice he made. And preparing for this sermon, I referred to the 34th anniversary Eve sermon and the message of the cross series, where the shepherd explained the procedures in which he received God's revelations and explanations, particularly on the message of the cross. In May 1983, Father God commanded him, our shepherd, to stop conducting revival meetings at other churches. God began interpreting, explaining the difficult passages in the Bible, which had been the subject of the shepherd's prayer for over 7 years. Back at the time, the shepherd would go to the prayer location after the Sunday services, concentrate on prayer for 5 days, and then came back on Friday. This is how he brought down the Father's words on the message of the cross. This came as the answer to his 7 years of arduous and painstaking prayer. Yet, the shepherd shared such precious words with us free of charge. That's why we have to cherish them all the more. Also today, I'd like to deliver a message based on the precious words of God. This is the sixth and the last session of his last 7 words on the cross for me. Today, we'll go over his 7th word on the cross. As you listen to this message, I want you to think of the message who made tireless, utmost efforts day after day to bring down the Father's words, rather than thinking, I've already heard this before. As you try to figure out and comprehend more of the spiritual meanings, you will understand his words in more depth and be empowered to be changed. Hopefully, you will hear today's message with an anticipating heart and thus be strengthened to be changed. I want you to have such blessed times through this message. Dear brothers and sisters, Jesus' seventh word on the cross is featured in today's scripture, Luke chapter 23, verse 46. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He said, into your hands I commit my spirit. If you remember his previous words on the cross, you will notice something different here. Unlike his fourth word on the cross, Jesus again called God as Father in his seventh word. In the earlier session where I preached on his fourth word, I told you that Jesus called God, my God, instead of my Father, to let us know that he was being forsaken by God as he was crucified in place of sinners. But now, having accomplished the providence of salvation, Jesus again calls him Father in his seventh word. From now on, let me explain in more detail the spiritual meanings carried in the seventh word. There are largely three points we will go over today. First, we'll talk about the reason why he cried out in a loud voice as he spoke his seventh word. Secondly, we'll look over the reason why Jesus would come to this earth as the Savior, committed his spirit into Father God's hands. Last and thirdly, we'll find out what lessons we should learn from his seventh word on the cross. So, first off, what are the reasons that Jesus cried out in a loud voice as he called Father in his seventh word? Because Jesus had shed all his blood and water while suffering on the cross for long, the moment before he breathed his last, he had already been drained of energy. Still, he cried out with a loud voice as he called Father. This is because he had to let his last words be heard to the people nearby. And another reason he called out in a loud voice is that it is God's will for us to cry out in a loud voice when we pray to him. God promises us in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, "Call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know." Not just in this verse, but in other verses in the Old and New Testaments, God emphasizes that we should cry out in prayer. For this reason, Jesus' disciples also prayed in a loud voice. Also, in Acts chapter 7, verse 59, is a scene where Deacon Stephen was stoned to die a martyr after he preached the gospel. They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Here, we find Deacon Stephen calling on the Lord with a loud voice, even while being stoned to death. In John chapter 11, verse 43, we find a scene where Jesus cried out with a loud voice as he raised a dead Lazarus, saying, "Lazarus, come forth." Considering the fact that he had been dead for 4 days and his body was decaying, it seemingly didn't matter whether he commanded in a small voice or a loud voice. But when he called out to the dead Lazarus, he was actually asking of God. So just like when he prayed, he cried out in a loud voice in obedience to the word of God. Also, when Jesus prayed at Gethsemane, he prayed so earnestly to the point where his sweat became like drops of blood falling to the ground. According to the medical science, when a person harshly strains his body, his capillary vessels may burst out, so he may break out in sweat mixed with blood. So such a phenomenon is possible. Praying on a chilly night of Israel, he cried out to the point where sweats broke out. On top of that, as he struggled so much in prayer, his sweats became like drops of blood. Likewise, it is God's will for us to wrestle, struggle, and cry out when we pray before God. Of course, there are moments or situations when we should pray in silence. Besides that, as we habitually pray to God, it is important that we cry out in prayer. Here, does crying out in prayer simply mean speaking words loudly in your prayer? No, it's not. It doesn't just raising your voice, but praying with an earnest heart. If you become so earnest, you naturally raise your voice and cry out in prayer. Do you remember how the beggar Bartimaeus behaved when he came before Jesus? In Mark chapter 10, verse 47, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Despite people scolding him to be quiet, he kept crying out all the more and thereby showed his earnestness. He received an answer in the end. Likewise, when we earnestly cry out to God with all of our hearts in prayer, we can please Him and consequently receive His answer quickly. Dear brothers and sisters, thankfully, we've been blessed with an environment where we can cry out to God to our heart's content in obedience to Father God's will. What is that? Yes, it is the Daniel prayer meeting held every night. Furthermore, the two-term consecutive special Daniel prayer meeting is underway. As you all know, Father God pours out His special extra grace and answers during the special prayer meeting period. So many of you are participating. And it's now being held under the title Glory. We only have 1 week left. Have you made a most efforts in offering up earnest prayer to God over the last 5 weeks? Recently, I had a chance to be reminded how precious this special Daniel prayer meeting is and reflect on how sincerely I've been offering up prayer each precious day. It was November 2nd. Following some heart-moving praises, Mrs. Bong Yim Lee started to pray for the participants in person with all of her strength, starting from the pastors who were kneeling down in front of the pulpit. I was also filled up with the Spirit that day. In the middle of the fervent prayer, I opened my eyes for a moment, wiping off my tears. Then something came into my sight. After Mrs. Lee prayed for us, she was kneeling down upon the pulpit, and her secretary came over to massage her shoulders. Seeing this, I started to pray again, but that scene lingered in my heart. Then, many things came across my mind, and I shed a lot of tears. Dear brothers and sisters, while the shepherd preached on the New Year prayer titles, he told us that there needs befitting justice to bear the fruit of glory. The title, the theme of this special Daniel prayer meeting is also a glory. So in order to be part of that glory, we need to satisfy, fulfill the befitting justice. But we have ones who eagerly want us to participate in that glory more than anyone else and fulfill the justice for which we are responsible on our behalf. On the first day, the shepherd prayed for all the participants and since then has been watching us on the screen. Each day, praying for us and satisfying the justice on behalf of us. And we also have Mrs. Bong Yim Lee, who understands very well the heart of the shepherd, helps us pray fervently and strives to pray for even one more person to the point where her shoulders are strained. So we have a chance to be changed. With that realization, I reflected on myself how earnestly I have been crying out in prayer each blessed day given to me, and how much I dedicated my heart for the souls as a pastor. Then, we have only 1 week left. How should we pray? We have to pray fervently, right? Why don't you put all your efforts in your prayer during this period? But when Father God is closely watching you, preparing blessings for you, we should strive more to pray earnestly according to the Father God's will. As we cry out in prayer and strive more, Father God will surely give you blessings. But does any one of you think it's too late because you haven't attended it for the last 5 weeks? If you think such a way, then I urge you to start fulfilling the justice from today. I assure you that Father God will joyfully accept your efforts. And your efforts shouldn't stop with the end of the special Daniel prayer meeting ends. This special prayer meeting session may end, but Daniel prayer meeting goes on. If you keep the fullness and grace given from the Spirit and continually cry out in prayer each night, God will definitely lead you onto the most blessed way possible. I hope that all of us will partake in the blessings and in the glory. Dear brothers and sisters, secondly, let us look over why Jesus, who came down to this earth as the Savior, committed His Spirit into Father God. Jesus committed His Spirit into Father, crying out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Jesus' physical life ended on the cross, but it's not that even His Spirit became extinct. Our Father God receives the Spirit. Man does not consist of visible body alone. They are composed of spirit, soul, and body. The body is only the shell to contain spirit and soul. Even though the body dies and returns to dust, the spirit is everlasting and never vanishes. You can refer back to senior pastor's sermons or books on spirit, soul, and body. But today, we will have just a brief overview. God formed Adam of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Then God filled the knowledge of spirit, which is the truth, into Adam's spirit. And Adam's spirit itself was his heart. And soul refers to the memory device in our brain, all the contents in it, and the work of evoking and utilizing all those memories. It's the difficult concept. Let me rephrase. Soul refers to devising our brain, all the contents in it, and the work of evoking and utilizing all those memories. That's what soul is. Initially, Adam's spirit was the master over his soul and body. With his spirit filled with the truth, the soul, controlled by spirit, only thought in the truth, and also the body, controlled by the spirit, only acted in the truth. But after Adam ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and committed sin, his spirit died, which means his communication with God was cut off, severed, and his spirit was not active anymore. Since his communication with God stopped, he could no longer be provided with the knowledge of truth. As the spirit, which is the master, died and became inactive, the soul took over the position of the master and began controlling the body. And the soul accepted the knowledge of the untruth by the work of Satan. To the extent that untruth was filled in heart, the truth, which was originally planted by God, began leaking out. Love and meekness leaked out, and they were replaced by untruth, such as hatred, anger, and self-seeking heart. Like this, when the knowledge of untruth surrounds the seed of life, making it inactive, we say the spirit is dead. But even though the spirit is dead and inactive, it does not disappear, because man's spirit contains the breath of life breathed in by the everlasting God. It cannot become extinct. Though the body perishes, spirit exists forever. Then, what will happen to the soul when the body dies? With brain, we human beings recall our memories and think. But as for animals that do not have spirit, when the memory device of their brain stops functioning with the death of the body, their soul goes back to nothingness. On the contrary, for men who have spirit, when they have operations of soul, the operation is passed on to the heart and recorded in the heart. So the soul does not become extinct, but it exists forever combined with the spirit. So when Jesus said, "Into your hands I commit my spirit," here spirit signifies the soul combined with the spirit. If God only accepted our spirit, but not our soul, when we go to heaven, we wouldn't know the tears, sorrow, pain learned by the operation of the soul on this earth. Therefore, just like Adam in the Garden of Eden, we wouldn't relatively feel the joy of heaven, and we wouldn't be able to give thanks from the depths of our heart. That's why God accepts our soul along with our spirit. Dear brothers and sisters, earlier I explained that Adam's spirit died by sin and his spirit became no longer inactive as his communication with God was cut off, severed. Then what should be done to make the dead spirit revive? So when we hear the gospel and accept Jesus Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit. Then our spirit is revived, and we can communicate with God again. The Holy Spirit makes the seed of life planted in us sprout and grow. The Holy Spirit helps us listen to the words of God and make His words become faith in our hearts. And through His help, we can live and act by the words. Through this process, as our heart is provided with and filled with the truth, we can cast off the untruth. As our heart is filled up with the truth, our soul operates only in the truth, and we conduct ourselves only in the truth. In order to receive the help from the Holy Spirit, the important thing is that we pray. As we pray, we can be provided with stronger help. When we are filled up with the Spirit through prayer, we get strengthened to overcome the untruth with the truth. By the strength given, we can accept the truth, act by it, and rid ourselves of the untruth. As a result, our spirit grows more and more. Like this, if our spirit is revived and our heart is filled with the truth, we say our soul is prosperous. 3 John chapter 1 verse 2 says, "Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. As our soul is prosperous, namely as our heart is filled with the truth, we will prosper in all aspects and be in good health." John chapter 3 verse 5 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." As said, those who are born again of the water and the Spirit, water means the word of God, and those who have been born again by the word of God. So namely, people whose spirits are revived, when they die on this earth, their spirit, along with the soul combined, go to heaven. But those whose spirit are not revived and have not cultivated their heart in the truth cannot go to heaven. And hell is the place to accommodate this kind of souls. Those who die after living in sins will suffer the eternal damnation along with the enemy devil. The worldly people, even though they do not know these facts in detail, fear death by instinct. They try to live as long as they can. At the moment of death, they look terrified with their eyes wide open and their body stiffened. But those who live with the assurance of salvation are not afraid of death. As said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, "We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord." They want to finish their life on earth quickly and rest in the Lord's embrace. Even at the moment of death, they happily confess in the hopes of heaven, "Father, I commit my spirit to you," just as Jesus did. Indeed, those who have faith die peacefully at the last moment of their lives, because they have faith and hope. Moreover, at the final moment, with their spiritual eyes opened, they see two angels dressed in white, waiting to take them and see the brilliant lights of heaven. Just by watching their last moment, we can confirm that the Bible is true and that heaven and hell are real. Furthermore, we, Mami members, know more details of heaven and hell through Senior Pastor's sermon series and books on heaven and hell, so we've been blessed to live with stronger, firmer hope for heaven. We should never miss out this blessing. We have to run more earnestly and advance into a better dwelling place in heaven, don't we? Dear brothers and sisters, another reason that Jesus committed His Spirit to Father God is, it is God the Creator who controls all the laws and providence in the universe and governs the life and death, blessing and curse of mankind. Jesus is coming down to this earth, being crucified, and His resurrection were not accomplished by the will or plan of Jesus. John chapter 4, verse 34 says, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work." As said, Jesus only obeyed the will and providence of Father God. The beginning and end of all things is up to God, and He is the one who accepts Jesus' Spirit. So, when we pray for something, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ because He redeemed us from sins as the mediator between sinners and God. More exactly, as Apostle Paul said, our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. But ultimately, the one who answers is God, who governs all things in the universe and controls the life and death, blessing and curse of mankind. So when we pray in faith, we can be answered. All things belong to God and are accomplished under His control and His sovereignty. He is the only one who gives answers to our prayers. For this reason, Jesus committed His Spirit to Father God. Dear brothers and sisters, thirdly and lastly, what lesson can we learn from Jesus' seventh word? The reason that Jesus said, "Into your hands I commit my spirit," was Jesus accomplished everything according to the will of God. He only followed Father God's will and accomplished everything. That's why he prayed that way. Namely, because he wholly accomplished his mission in obedience to the word of God, words of God, he could boldly commit his spirit to the Father's hands. In the Bible, we find the fathers of faith who wholly lived according to the will of God offered up the same kind of confession and prayer towards the end of their life on earth. For example, having been faithful to God's will with all his life, the Apostle Paul made a bold confession, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day." Stephen, who lived according to God's will and kept his faith, called out saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit," as he was being stoned to death. If he had made friends with the world and lived in sin and evil, how could he have committed his soul to God? Likewise, only when we live perfectly according to the will of God can we confidently say, pray, "I commit my spirit into your hands." Here we have to keep this in mind. In order to perfectly live according to God's will, we need to look back on ourselves, whether we've relied only on God or depended on people or man's ways. Even while someone professes to follow God's will, if he actually relies on worldly ways or a man, we can't say he's perfectly following God's will. When we only count on God, the governor of all things in the universe and the life and death, blessing and curse of man, we can wholly accomplish His will. When we live so, we are worthy of His perfect blessing, whether it's healing, answers to prayer, or growth of faith. But if you involve worldly ways or your physical knowledge, you prevent God from taking responsibility for you. Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 through 31 says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a cent? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Therefore, do not fear. You are of more value than many sparrows." If you understand the spiritual meaning of this verse and deeply engrave it in your heart, you can commit all things into God's hands. Without God's permission, even a sparrow will not fall to the ground, and God even counts the number of our hairs. If you truly rely on God with faith, there's nothing you can't receive from God. In the areas of healing, blessings in your workplace or businesses, or in achieving God's work, we know of a person whose life testifies what it means to believe and rely on God and what blessings accompany our belief and reliance on Him. The shepherd often introduced her case, and we also know well from the Mommy magazine. She is the praise leader Rose Han, who showed steadfast faith even at a life-threatening situation and finally was healed of her disease. Let me briefly introduce her testimony. When she suffered from tuberculosis, one of her lungs became completely racked, and the other was also damaged to the point where it looked like a beehive. The doctor told her to be hospitalized immediately and declared that she wouldn't be able to use her neck even if she got healed. Yet, she herself and her family decided that they would stay in the bosom of God, whether she would live or die. She fought against death over a year without medical treatment. Even in that circumstance, she didn't waver in faith. Finally, when the right time arrived, God laid His hand on her, and she got healed and completely recovered to become healthier than before. Now she's greatly glorifying God as a worldwide praise leader. Also, as the fruit of a sub-host spirit, she's being a source of strength to the shepherd. Likewise, if you entrust all things to God and rely on Him, you can experience the work of God as well. The same applies when we work for God's kingdom. Concerning this, I had some awakening moments recently. Recently, I was assigned with another duty, which is when I was told that I would take on this duty, I doubted, thinking, would I be able to deal with this? I looked at the physical situation such as time and environment, but while I was praying that night, God reminded me of several things, and God strengthened me. I came to think like, I've changed into a person who prays here in the sanctuary. I've become what I am now. All these things haven't been possible on my own. Even when I wander off in the world and broke the heart of the Father and the Lord were patient with me without giving up. Even when I had been tainted by the world beyond anyone could believe, the shepherd trusted me and expected me to change and called me to become a servant of the Lord. By relying on that love, I have become what I am now. And all I have to do is just keep on going, relying on that love. Yes, I wouldn't be able to carry out this duty on my own, but if I depend on the love of the Father, the Lord, and the Shepherd, I can make it. More importantly, because the Father trusts me, I was entrusted with this duty, the principal of the students' Sunday school. I may undergo trial and error, but don't have to be frightened. Even in those moments, if I only rely on the Father, the Lord, and the Shepherd, and kneel down in prayer, God will lead me the best way possible. With these thoughts, I felt at ease and at the same time so much thankful, thinking how much I had been changed compared to how I was in the past. By nature, I'm pretty sensitive to making mistakes or errors. When anybody does not want to make mistake, but I was more sensitive than others. So when making a mistake, I blame myself a lot. I become discouraged easily. However, I found myself feeling less nervous or worried about making mistakes. Of course, it's not that I consider my mistake or errors as nothing. I have to look back and reflect on myself and try to improve more. But what I mean is, I find myself not as troubled or worried as before. As said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father God who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask Him? I began to believe and rely on the love of the Father who desires to give me what is the best. Of course, I couldn't do so from the beginning. There were times I repeatedly reminded myself of this verse and prayed upon it. Sometimes I believed this word with my head, but not from the depths of my heart. But I reminded myself that as long as I don't give up, the Father, the Lord, and the Shepherd won't give up. And I prayed over and over. With such efforts, my personality gradually changed. And now, I can believe from my heart that even in the face of trial and error, if my trust in the Father, the Lord, and the Shepherd remains unchanged, God will lead me the best way possible. I'm not saying this because my trust in them is perfect. This is only a beginning. I know that there will be moments when I need to develop my trust to a higher level until it reaches a complete measure. But unlike before, I don't want to avoid facing those challenges because I'm convinced that God will turn those situations to invaluable fruit. The same goes for our change of heart and growth of faith. When we discover deficiencies, we shouldn't be discouraged by them. It is important for us to believe that those moments will lead us to spiritual change and Father God will guide us in that manner. Dear brothers and sisters, there is a Manmin Praise song that I love singing nowadays. It's Festivity of Glory. We sing this a lot during the special Daniel prayer meeting period. Almost every time I sing this, even when I drive, I hear this song. I repeatedly listen to that song. The reason is, almost every time I sing this, I shed tears because every single lyric of the praise is so touching. Let me read the lyrics. Let me, in this place, I'm happy, I'm joyful. This is a glorious festival. He comforts us and wipes away our tears. He commands our fruit. Everyone is happy in this festivity. He changed me and allowed me to come to this place. This is how the lyrics go. The refrain part of the song is touching. But I also like this part. He changed me and let me come to this place. I'm happy and I'm glad. Whenever I sing that part, I'm so touched and inspired. The reason is, in one sermon, we learned that we would shed tears of thanksgiving before the Pearl Gate in New Jerusalem as we entered the New Jerusalem. It is associated with this song. Previously, I would take it for granted for our shedding tears, but nowadays, as I sing this song, I strongly feel why I wouldn't help but shed tears there. It's not on my own, but by the Father's, the Lord's, and the Shepherd's grace that I can enter this beautiful place. It is not I who change myself, but it's their love that changes me and makes it all possible. Being so much thankful for the tears and the sacrifice of the Father, the Lord, and the Shepherd who changed me, even a person like me, I feel that I would burst into tears. As I savor each lyric of this song and pray upon it, I realize that the pearl gates in New Jerusalem signify the tears of the Father, the Lord, and the Shepherd shed for us rather than our own tears. As I look at the pearl gates made of their tears, I would feel their love all the more and shed endless tears. Yes, this is true. It is not us, ourselves, who can achieve spiritual change. It is possible by the tears and sacrifice of the Father, the Lord, and the Shepherd who endeavored to change us, who endeavored to lead us to spiritual change. Of course, it's not to say there's nothing we have to do on our part. We have to believe and rely on their love that trusts us without giving up and satisfy the justice in place of us. Even though we find ourselves stagnant or so slow in our spiritual growth, we should keep on going without being discouraged. Moreover, we have been given priceless gift. It is the power of recreation that changes the hearts of man. In And senior pastor explained about this power of recreation as he preached about the new prayer title. It is the love that surpasses the justice and is the power that changes the hearts of man. It can change even the so evil people like Ananias and Sapphira. And even those who have filled themselves with the self-righteousness and frameworks, and those people like evil people in Sodom and Gomorrah, the power of recreation can change even those people. As we rely on this power, we can be changed. I've been praying upon this power. I'm not saying I've been completely changed. I used to have a strong self-righteousness and frameworks. I didn't even realize that I had such strong righteousness and frameworks. But as the shepherd called me as a pastor, he told me, senior pastor told me, I want to call you as a pastor, but I'm afraid that you have strong self-righteousness and frameworks. That's the point when I realized I had such strong self-righteousness and frameworks. I knew that I just consider myself having a good leadership, having a strong, being a strong-minded. When I was a college student, the senior pastor pointed out that I had such strong self-righteousness and frameworks. So I began to pray upon it. In my prayer, I truly realized how strong my self-righteousness is, how stubborn I was. I always wanted to, when I participated in the discussion contest when I was in college, I never let myself be defeated by others. Because it came from my strong righteousness and frameworks. The shepherd let me realize this, and I began to rid myself of this. But it didn't, it was not easy at first. But I continually relied on the shepherd's power. The shepherd's power even changes the those people who have such strong. I didn't doubt that his power can change me, and his power of recreation, as I believed and rely on his power. And I also engraved and reminded myself how much sacrifice he made to bring down such power of recreation, how much he suffered, how much tears he shed, how much he also bleeded, his eyesight blurred, and he went through all this to finally bring down such power of recreation. As I believed and relied on that power, I was convinced that I could change and break my self-righteousness and change. With such efforts, I'm still not perfect. I still have a long way to go, but I can find myself being changed more and more. As you rely and believe in such power of creation, you can be changed for sure. In the face of our problems, whether it's a disease or a spiritual stagnation, just as Jesus only followed the will of God and committed all things to Him, if we only rely on God, not on people or man's ways, the outcome will surely be a blessing in the end. With this in mind, I hope that you will become ones who wait for the Lord and make a bold confession of committing your spirit to the Father, and furthermore, joyfully and proudly confess how you've come forth as the shepherd's fruit in the beautiful New Jerusalem. Let me conclude the message. Today, we've looked over Jesus' seventh word on the cross. We looked over largely three points. First, we looked at why Jesus called out to the Father with a loud voice. Here, we talked about the importance of crying out in prayer. Secondly, we delved into the reason why Jesus, who came to this earth as the Savior, committed His Spirit to Father God. And I talked about spirit, soul, and body, and about God, the governor of our life, life and death, blessing and curse. Lastly and thirdly, we found out what lesson we should learn from His seventh word on the cross. We've learned that just as Jesus only followed God's will and committed all things to God, we should also rely on God, not on people or man's ways. Only then we boldly commit our spirit to God, just as Jesus did. Dear brothers and sisters, now let me wrap up the six-session series, His Last Seven Words on the Cross for Me. I prepared this sermon series at this significant point in time, point in the end time, where we should equip ourselves as the spiritual warrior who will lead numerous souls to salvation. I wanted to remind you of Jesus' love and His message for us, carried in His last seven words on the cross, so that you can engrave and accomplish His messages in your heart. We are already heading towards the end of 2016, and we have only 1 month and a half left until December 25th, the birthday of Jesus, who shouted out His words on the cross for us. But this day, December 25th, has another significant meaning for us. Do you know what that is? As you well aware, it is the day to commemorate the day the shepherd's love was demonstrated in full swing for us, who used to walk down the path to destruction. As we are heading towards December 25th, how much have you accomplished the spiritual messages carried in Jesus' last words on the cross? Also, how much have you fulfilled the shepherd's earnest plea that he has made over and over again for the last six years? Still, it is now too late. We still have a 1 month and a half period of time, which is so precious to us. And this is never short, because the shepherd's original voice is working among us even right now. As the shepherd once proclaimed, the voice works second by second, minute by minute, hour by hour, and day by day. As you believe and rely on this original voice, you are more than able to change over the 1 month and a half period. To believe and rely on the original voice is to keep in mind that the shepherd's sacrifice and love required to emit the original voice was on account of me, and to continually remember and engrave this fact in our lives, and also to earnestly pray and strive to change with faith in that love. This is also the 1% amount of justice we have to fulfill on our part. Mark chapter 9, verse 23 reads, "And Jesus said to him, If you can, all things are possible to him who believes. As said in this verse, I urge you to keep strongly in mind, as you believe and count on the love of the shepherd who makes his utmost efforts to fulfill the justice for us, and rely on this original voice. I challenge you to march on vigorously. I want you to make more efforts in crying out in your prayer during the remaining special Daniel prayer meeting, and keep on with your prayer until December 25th. I sincerely hope that you will come forth as the fruit of joy. I hope you will become the fruit of joy to the shepherd on December 25th. Let's reflect on today's message in our prayer.
Amen.
We'll receive the senior pastor's prayer for the sick. If you have any sick parts, please lay your hands on them. If you don't have any sick parts, please lay your hands on your chest and receive prayer for your heart wishes. Hallelujah, Almighty God, our loving Father, please lay your hands on all the believers who are receiving this prayer now. Show your works that transcend time and space on those who are receiving this prayer through GCN, Internet, and satellite TV, in branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all other children of God around the world. Give them the faith to believe from the heart. Drive away negative thoughts and doubts, and drive away all tests and trials. From head to toe, all entrails, joints, nerves, tissues, and cells, whatever the sick part may be, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and the original light. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities go away, light come. Please scorch all their terminal and incurable diseases with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria. All contagious diseases, including cold, flu, and fever, go away. Protect them from all kinds of germs and viruses. Heal them of all stomach, lungs, liver, breast, uterine, and intestinal cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressure, diabetes, thyroid problems, and heart, lung, and women's diseases, and all inflammations go away. Heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs, back pain, headache, and neuralgia, and all other pains disappear. Epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and other mental diseases go away. All kinds of paralysis be loosened. Get up, walk, and leap. Let the eyes see well, let the ears hear well, let the blind come to see, the deaf hear, and the mute to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Fix their broken bones. Restore them from burns. Let the heat and burning sensation go away. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions, poisoning, and substance abuse. Let the dead nerves and tissues and cells be regenerated. Bring the dead back to life. Give them the blessing of conception. Receive the blessing of conception. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the power of the air, the evil forces of heavenly places and their servants, go away. Go away, evil, unclean, false, and deceitful spirits, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen the bonds of wickedness, darkness, go away, light come. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. As their souls prosper, let all things go well with them and let their families be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters throughout this week and bless them to lead a prosperous life without any problems. With the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes, protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and business fields. Give students wisdom and understanding, and give them enthusiasm and fervor to study hard. Please keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and let them love God more fervently. Whether your children eat or drink, or in whatever they do, let them do it all to live a life glorifying Father God. Let them be able to testify about the living God, saying, I've met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Be glorified alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.